What we're going to look at tonight is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I gave this little, you can say, a Bible study at youth group about pleasing God, a life that is pleasing God, or a life that is pleasing to God, I should say. But in the area of something that most of you tonight perhaps maybe can relate to, or, you know, wish that you knew these principles in time past, because you're relating to principles for Christian courting, which is very foreign in our day. The world knows it to be dating, Christian dating, or, well, worldly dating, but sometimes Christians adapt the culture of the world in how they formulate their relationships. And so tonight we're going to look at courting, or, you know, getting to know somebody that is, you know, of the opposite sex in a godly way that pleases God. Because there is a way that displeases God, and there's a way that pleases God, and it's found in His Word. And so we need to look here to see how God is to be pleased in the way we conduct our relationships, especially in getting to know someone for marriage. Now let me say this to you: if you're here tonight and you've been married and you just failed in these areas, you know, just thank God for His grace. You know, you might look back and think, "I wish I knew these principles before." And God's grace is able to get you out of the dumps and get your foot upon a rock. And many of you didn't have the privilege to grow up in a Christian home and know these principles. But you can thank God for what He's done in your life right now and push forward, and don't, you know, live in a life of regret and say, "Oh, only if I knew." But see, at the end of the day, you are accountable to what you know now. And if you did know these principles, if you did learn these principles, I should say, and you rejected them, it's only going to bring you a life of grief. And so let me just say that if you're here tonight and you are a single person looking to get married, I would say that the best way in order to do it is God's way, and a way that pleases God. And you would say, "Well, this is old-fashioned." Well, as old as the Bible, amen? As old as the Bible. Because you might look at it and say, "It's old-fashioned. I wish I knew the old-fashioned way of God. I really do. I wish I was taught these principles even when I became a Christian at my sending church, which I never knew. I suffered tremendously. And God taught me along the way. And I learned hard lessons, tough lessons." And so it doesn't have to be, you know, a rocky, tough road into getting to know someone. You don't have to have your heart broken time and time again in order for you to find God's will for your life. You don't. Have a look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at verses 1. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know that what commandment we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your" what? "Sanctification, that you should abstain from" — what's that word? "Fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond defraud. No man go beyond and defraud." That's a very important word. "His brother in any matter." It says "in any matter," even relationships. "Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto" what? "Holiness. He therefore that despiseth not men," but who? "But God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit." By the way, it's Holy Spirit, amen? Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit of God has not become trendy today. It's still holy. And it will still lead us to conduct holy relationships that please God. Let's pray. Father, Lord God, we come before you tonight and we thank you for your word. We do ask and pray that you'd help us adhere to these principles tonight in respect of, Father, seeking a spouse in a godly manner. Pray for all the married couples here, Lord, that you'd give them grace upon grace, Lord, to help them through their marriage, and thank God for where you have brought them and where you have led them, Father. I pray for those that are single, and Lord, they are seeking perhaps a spouse, that they would wait for your best, and Father, they would not settle for any less than your best. I pray that you'd have your blessing, Father, upon their lives. I pray that they'll look into your word and they'll realize the principles, Father, that protect them from a broken heart, and also, Lord, that will help them. Father, help them live a life that is pleasing to you. Father, I pray that you'd help us all tonight understand these principles and teach them to our children. In Jesus' name, amen. So one of the ways in which we can please God in our relationship, especially when we're seeking a spouse and looking for married, is a way which honors God and where we don't defraud one another, amen? We don't rob or take advantage of each other or take something that doesn't belong to us. And when it comes to a Christian relationship, many Christians don't know where to start. I didn't know where to start. I was used to the way of the world, and I was just used to one way. I saw the Hollywood movies, the soap opera, TV shows, and Days of Our Lives, and the way people used to conduct relationships, and that's all I knew. I thought, this is the way you do it, and this is the way you learn. I didn't know that there's, a biblical stand toward courtship or getting to know a spouse. I didn't know anything about this. No one ever taught me about this. We should make it part of the discipleship program, amen? For those that are growing in Christ, we should include it part of the family when we're dealing with young people and how to seek for a spouse. It's not taught today. People wonder what to do, how to approach someone. And so we see that if we're going to live a life pleasing to God, we have to first look into his word. Notice what it says here. He says in verse 1, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, and so ye would abound more and more." So what's the purpose? That we must have a walk that pleases God in our relationships. And the Bible says that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, we should do it all for the glory of God. And so we must not pattern our lives to the trends or the culture of the world or the ways of the world, but to the ways of the Word. Notice 1 Thessalonians, look at verse 5. "Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." See, there's a way that the Gentiles lived in the vanity of their minds, living to the lust of the flesh and not to the will of God. And so here we see that if we're going to please God, we have to know what his word says, because we're used to paddling our lives after a custom of the ways of the world. And so when we look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, He hath quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to," what's that word? "The course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past." This is how we lived, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, whereby nature the children of wrath, even as others. So in other words, he's saying that we used to live like the Gentiles that live like that are living now. We didn't care about pleasing God. We didn't care about how a relationship ought to be, conducted in the way of the word. All we cared about is what we wanted to do and how we wanted to please ourselves. So what's the difference between dating and courting? Well, the difference is this. When two people are courting, they are looking to have no physical contact. And when they are seeking to be together, they make sure someone is present with them. So they don't have any physical pressure, or they're not emotionally attached. They're protecting one another from, something that could take place and defraud one another. So they're putting certain boundaries so they don't, violate biblical principles. And you might look at that and say, oh, wherever I go, this person's going to be with us. Why don't you want them to be with you? What's wrong? What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What's the problem? You know, if I'm going to allow my daughter to see someone, I want someone to go and just, be in the public forum and get to know that person. What are you planning to do or by yourself? So why is it a foreign thing? Because we know that dating is a very personal thing. And when you go out to date, specifically in the night, things happen. You talk about things. You talk about what that person likes and dislikes, and you go for a walk, and you go for a walk on the beach, and you get some ice cream, and one thing leads to another. That's what we see. That's what we see in the world. That's what happens with dating. Go get a movie. Go get some popcorn. You're not used to having a third person. Three's a crowd. Isn't that what they say? Three's a crowd, man. You're cramping my style. What do you want to do, boy? What are you going to do? Do you have plans? See, the way of the word says we want to do things that protect us from falling into temptation so we don't live a life that is displeasing to God. Yes. We want to do everything so we can protect our princesses. Yeah, amen. Praise God for that. I've got two girls now. I can really understand that. Praise God. Yeah. Because the way of the world, dating says this. It's try before you buy. If it doesn't work, kick it to the curb and get another one and see if that works. And that's disgusting, isn't it? But that's reality. That's what's taking place right now in the world. That they can actually try, and if this doesn't work, they go and try this person, and they try that person, and they try that person, and if that doesn't work, they just keep trying until they find the right one. Yeah, the right one. What is the right one? Well, if you're not in the will of God, you will never know who the right person is for your life. If you're going to do it by your own wisdom, then you're going to fail. We see a lot of marriages fail only because they're trying to do things in the way of the world, never did anything that pleased God. But that's the difference, really. One wants to protect their purity. The other one doesn't really care. There's no boundaries. You might have some moral person that says, no, I won't do that. I'm not allowed to do that. I won't go there. I won't be I don't want to be alone with that person. You might have someone that has some sort of conviction, but I guarantee you one thing leads to another. And that person that has convictions will let them down one day. Yep, it will happen. It happens to the best of us because we're all weak in this area. That's why we say we need a third person to go with you just to make sure everything's okay. And you're not going to do... You know when someone's with you, you don't even think about doing anything. It doesn't even enter your mind. You won't even go there. I mean, your mind won't even shift. You know, you're not even going to be tempted to do anything. And so this is where courtship is better than dating because it protects your purity and it protects you from defrauding the other person. What if it doesn't work out? Well, at least you know that you haven't done things in a way that displeases God and defrauds the other person. And so we have to look into the scriptures. Notice verse 2, for you know what commandment we gave you by the word of the Lord. So first of all, we must search the word of God to know the will of God. Amen? God gives us biblical truths. Look at this, Psalm 33, verse 11. Notice, Psalm 33, verse 11. And the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Okay? The thoughts of his heart to what? All generation. You know what God is saying here? That the principle, the counsel of the Lord is from one generation to another generation. God has given us principles that work for every generation. Every generation. So it's not just for back then, it's now. Because the things change and the world is changing, and by the way, the world is changing, it doesn't mean we have to go with the culture of the world. We stay where the Word of God is. And the counsel of the Lord will stand forever, no matter where the world is going. The Word of God will stand forever. It's forever settled in heaven. And so we'd be wise to keep the counsel of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to cleanse your way? How do you do it? Take heed to the word of God. Psalm 119:105, the word is a lamp under my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs 19:21, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, what will stand? The counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You have your opinions, you have your perceptions, you have your perspective, you have your feelings, you have your ideas, I think, but God's word will stand. And that's what we want to look to. We don't want to look to our feelings, and we don't want to look to ungodly counsel and what they think or how they feel. We want to look to the word of God and see what God's mind is on this. We want to please God in all that we do. And so what's the principle? First principle, the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So notice, look, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with an unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? So what is he saying here? As a believer, you need to seek out somebody that is a believer, that is walking in the light, that is knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Like Buddy said on Wednesday, you don't pray for somebody if it's the will of God for your life, if they're a non-believer. I mean, that goes without saying. You don't even think about praying about that person. You don't think about even going there and hoping that one day you'd be with that person if they're non-believers. You just, it's almost like a no-brainer. You just don't go there. That's God's principle. There's no communion. There's no partnership. There's no fellowship. There's nothing in common. We have nothing in common with the heathen. One wants to live by the word of God and the other one wants to live by the world system. There's nothing in common. You're going to go separate ways. One person would go straight. The other person wants to go back. One person perhaps wants to do it God's way. The other person wants to do it the traditional way. You're going to butt heads. Doesn't matter if it's in marriage or even business. You're going to butt heads. And so the Bible says very clearly, don't partnership with unbelievers. You know what was the downfall to King Solomon when he married unbelievers? You know the downfall? Notice in 1 Kings verse 11. Chapter 11 verse 4, notice what the Bible says there. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after what? Other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. He went after strange women. You know what? I think about how many Christians have forfeited the will of God for their lives by marrying someone that wasn't a believer. Man, what could have been? And their life is now just miserable. Miserable. And so we see here in verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not, and look what it says here, and went not, what's that word there? Went not what? Fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Why? Because he married strange women. He married unbelievers. And I guarantee you, you go against God's word, you're going to live a miserable life. You're going to miss out on the blessings of God. You will not please God. You'll forfeit God's blessing for your life. And can I just say this? Don't try to reason within your own wisdom. Don't try to say this. Some people say, I will try to win them to the Lord and then I will marry them. That's reasoning. I tried to do that, by the way. I did that for several months because I was engaged practically when I got saved. And I did everything. I was writing letters. I was sending CDs out to that person. I'm pleading with them. And I was almost playing the Holy Spirit and thought to myself, if I just win them to the Lord, because I love that person so much, I could marry them. And God got me to the point and said, just let go and let me do this. And I did, and God just parted our ways. But sometimes we think that we know better. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. And someone else might say, I will marry them, and then by my influence as a Christian, I can impact them for the Lord. Social gospel, eat your heart out. Yeah. I can just win them by my lifestyle in the house. I'll sanctify them. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah, but it says it to those that are already married that were unsaved. The Corinthians, some of the Corinthians were married, and one person within that marriage, thank God, got saved. And now that person, the other person within that marriage, can be sanctified or can be blessed by the life of that person if they live like a Christian. But listen, that's not God's way. It was never God's way. It was never God's way. God's way is a believer marries a believer. And so if you think you're going to marry a non-believer and then win them to the Lord, well, think again, because it doesn't always happen. Now, in some cases, it might happen, but it's not God's way. And I don't know about you, but you don't want to, you know, risk it. And again, you're not doing God's perfect will. You're not doing it God's way. You know, I really love that person. Well, it's not about the loving that person. It's about the will of God. It's about pleasing God. It's about doing it God's way. Proverbs 3 verse 7, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now ask yourself this question. Do you desire the will of God, the complete perfect will of God, or do you desire the permissive will of God? Because I'll say this to you. If you marry a non-believer, then God's going to permit that. And you're bound to that marriage. But it's got not. And let's say it works perfectly fine. It's good. They get saved. Great. But was it God's perfect will? I don't know about you, but I want God's perfect will. And thank God for the times that we've gone through. And look, I look at my life, 24 years. I'm thinking, why couldn't I get saved at the age of 10 like my wife? I'm thinking, all this, you know, God has, you know, God's in control. And he has a, you know, specific path for everybody. And he knows how to work his will in people's lives. It's not God's fault, folks, when we're ignorant of his word. It's not God's fault because some of us have been reared up in the wrong way. That's why it's important for us to hear this message tonight so we're not ignorant of God's word. That's why it's important for us to stand on the rooftops and preach this and get it out there. And so we tell people that there is a way that pleases God and we must submit to that way. And so we want to make sure that we're not marrying someone that's not a believer. Do not seek, second of all, any kind of Christian. So we have a non-believer, but we have also a carnal believer. You know, there are some people that are not going in the same direction that you're going in. There are some people that are going a different direction. Amos says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? That's what Amos said. The psalmist says, I am a companion of all them that what? Fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Look, I want to be a companion. I want to walk with the wise. I don't want to walk with any kind of professing Christian that really just wants to do things their own way. Are there professing Christians that just want to do things their own way? Absolutely. Not every Christian wants the will of God fulfilled in their life. And sometimes you can see that because a child is even known by their doings, right? You can understand that. You can see that. Sometimes it takes time to see it, but not every Christian wants the will of God. You say, but they're in church. It doesn't matter if they're in church. It doesn't matter if they're in church. You know, the will of God goes beyond just being in church. Did you know that? Anybody can be in church. There are some unsaved people that are in church. The will of God goes beyond just making a service, amen, just being attending a service. It's more than that. It's having God being controlled over every area of your life. I said every area over your life, and not many Christians want to give God every area. And so if you're a Christian, listen, can I say this to you? If you're a Christian that you know that you're not giving every area to God, why don't you just leave the other Christian that wants to give every area to God alone? Marry someone that's like you. Now, the best thing is to get right with God and get on fire for God and do what God has called you to do. But don't go encroaching on someone that wants the will of God and hindering them from knowing the will of God and living out the will of God. Sometimes many people can say the right things, but in their heart, they don't really want to do the will of God. They just say the right things. And so we've got to make sure that we are walking with the wise. We've got to make sure that we're seeking a spouse that has a heart for God, if we have a heart for God, and just look for someone that is surrendered. Look for someone that is, teachable. Look for someone that's God-fearing. The Bible says favor is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And that's, by the way, that's a virtuous woman. The Bible says a virtuous woman, who can find? It's very rare to find a woman that loves and fears God. A lot of women today are wrapped up with themselves. They want, you know, to be a Christian, but also they want the world. And it doesn't work that way. Men, if you're on fire for God, don't seek a lady that wants the best of both worlds. Yeah. That's serving to... No, seek a lady that fears God. Ladies, seek a man that fears God. When Moses was seeking out some able men, his father-in-law says, hey, you know, you need able men to help you. You know what was the requirements in Exodus 18, 21? This is the requirement. Able men, three things. They feared God, they were men of truth, and they hated covetousness. Man, able men. If you look at the word able in the Hebrew, it's the same word for virtuous found in Proverbs 31. Yeah, same word. One that fears God, loves the truth, hates covetousness. Second, in order to live a life pleasing to God in seeking a spouse, we must not only seek the word of God and live by the principles of God's word, but we must live by faith. Now, it's one thing to know these principles, but it's another thing to apply them. Applying the principles of God's word is living by faith. It's not enough just to know them. These truths that God has set before us must be sought by faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So living by faith is this, waiting on the Lord. Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? Waiting for God's best. That means you don't go on these Christian dating sites, amen? Cliche, Christian date. Yeah, it's a cliche. It's not what you see. It's not what it is. You don't want to act so desperate. You want to wait on the Lord. You say, well, you know, what do I do while I wait? You delight yourself in the Lord. You do His will. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. The Bible says, commit thy ways unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. You live your life falling in love with God. Before I married my wife, Janet, 7 years, coming to 8 years in the making, and in the 8 years, God was working on my heart to fall in love with Him. He was stripping me from everything. Because my heart's desire was to get married. I was engaged to get married. I was ready to get married. Everything was set and done. So after I got saved, I thought, man, I just need to just find a believer. I thought, not every believer wants the will of God. And I thought, man, so I went after one trial to another trial, realizing that I just need to wait on God. And, you know, do His will. And so that's what you need to do. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do His will. Get busy. Look, men, let me say this. Sleep in the will of God. You know, when Adam found Eve, before he found Eve, God put him to sleep. The Bible said God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And then He made a woman from his rib. You know, Adam only had one choice. Yeah, one choice. He says, here she is. Here you go. I didn't see Adam complain, amen. I didn't see him complain, but say, can you give me another one? Or, you know, this is not suitable. He went with God's choice. He went with God's choice. Now, let me just say this, and no offense to my wife, but my choice would not be picking Janet. That wasn't my choice. I submitted to the will of God. Was I attracted to my wife? Absolutely. But I wasn't head over heels and butterfly. This was the ways of the world. This is how I felt. But you know what? When I got married and I grew to know my wife in a more intimate way, man, oh, forget about it. Forget about it. I'm finished. I'm done. I don't know how to find another one like her in my eyes. I'm serious. I'm finished. Yeah, this is God's way. Before, you know, I need these butterfly feelings to come and I need to be in love before I get... No, you need God's will. And God's will is not always, No, this is, you know, let me just say, don't mistake love with lust. Yep. Don't mistake love with lust. And so what do we need to do? Sleep in the will of God. Ladies, let me say this. While you're waiting on the Lord, don't flirt. Yeah, because, you know, ladies, I think they get it, they get it easy, amen. They just wait and they don't really have to do much. The men have to pursue. And what? And they're worried about being rejected, you know. They're worried, oh, no. And the woman, she's worried about, you know, well, if I say yes, what if it doesn't work? Well, I guarantee you, if you're doing the will of God and you're doing it right and you're waiting upon authority and you've involved authorities in your life and you're not doing it in a very secret way, I guarantee you the will of God will work. But if you're trying to do it your own way and you're fighting against the will of God, it may not work and you can push it to make it work, but you'll never be happy. But let me just say this to you. Don't flirt. Don't flirt. That's one thing I appreciated about my wife. I was looking for signs, brother. Gunnar, I was looking. She never gave me nothing. Nothing. I said, oh man, this is difficult, because I was always used to, you know, the flirting. Did she look, who looked first, that look, you know, man, no looks, no nothing. Man, has this woman got any kind of heart feelings or anything? Give me something, nothing. And so I praise God for that. I really do praise God for that. Look, notice what the Bible says in Proverbs 6, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattering of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her what? Eyelids. Yeah. Oh, man. My heart. Do you know, can I just say this to you, women? Yeah, that absolutely knocks a person over. And just by the way you look at them, and just the way you dress, you know, the simple man was taken by the woman, the strange woman, Proverbs 7. Notice what the Bible says about her. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a what? Harlot. And subtle of heart. Now, this is what the Bible's saying. She dressed like a prostitute. Why do they do that? Now, back in those days, they were modest. They were modest prostitutes, but you knew that this was a prostitute, and the way she covered her face and the way her eyes looked at you, the way she looked at you, but she was dressed, you knew, oh, this is a harlot, this modest. What's our culture today? Dress to kill. Yeah, dress to kill. Some men have to wear neck braces because they're always looking left, right, and center today. Yeah, neck braces. They've got to have these horse blinkers. Yep. Neck braces. I'm telling you, this is the society that we live in today. You can't even look left or right. In order for them to actually sell a Magnum ice cream, they have to put a half-naked woman swimming in the center of it on a billboard. They know how to wheel you in. They know how to get your attention. Well, that's the same thing. Women, let me just say this. Godly women don't dress in such a way to get someone's attention. Yeah, dress modestly. Dress a way that honors God. Yeah, but they'll think I'm old-fashioned and they'll never want to be with me. God! What, you want a guy that's just an animal and lustful? Doesn't know what the will of God is? He doesn't know his left hand from his right hand? Yeah, you want some guy that's a creep? No, you want a godly man? You don't want to attract creeps? I don't want my daughter to attract creeps. By the way, I was one of these creeps. And thank God I got saved, amen? Yeah, I got saved. Thank God for that. You want a godly man that will respect you and love you. Yeah, you don't want someone to lust all over you and you know, no, you don't want that. Ladies, you want to respect yourself, dress in a way that honors God. And if he doesn't like it and he thinks you're old-fashioned, that's praise God for that. That's the will of God. Praise the Lord. Don't date. Don't date. Don't be tempted to date. Oh, just one time. I'll just try one time. Well, notice what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. What's that mean? Does that mean it's not good for a man to do this to a woman? No. Can a man shake a woman's hand? Yeah. So that's touching, right? Is that right? So what does it mean here? What's Paul talking about? Don't touch her in a very sexual way. That means no holding hands, no putting your hand over her. You know, yeah, but you know, we're just getting to know one another. If someone wants to know my daughter and they're getting to know her, you know, the only time you put your hand on her is when you're going to marry her. And if you're not going to marry her, keep your hands to yourself. Yeah, put them in your pockets. If you don't have pockets, buy pants that have pockets. Amen? Yeah, old fashioned. Praise God. I wish I knew this. Yeah, don't touch her. What does it say if you want to touch her? What does it say? Look, notice the next verse. What does it say if you want to? If you want to touch her, nevertheless, to avoid what? Let every man have his own wife. Marry her! Oh, but yeah, I don't know if she's the one. Then, bye. Leave her alone. What do you want from her? I said, what do you want from her? Yeah, see, this is the problem today. And I was one of these people that didn't know how to commit. Yeah, I was one of these people. Didn't know how to commit. And I thank God that He's made me a man of commitment and a man of principle and convictions. And let me say another thing. Don't fret. Don't fret. In other words, men, can I just say this? If you are interested in someone, inquire by faith. Inquire by faith. The Bible says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Don't be tempted to go through the back door. If you're not sure, then back off. But if you're sure, go for it. Inquire, ask the dad. You know, I remember Jesse told me, you know, his sister was available and all the rest of it. And I just thought, you know, that she loved the Lord. He goes, oh, why don't you ring her and ask her? So anyway, I rang her dad one day. I thought to myself after some time, I said, you know what, I'll just ring her up. And I don't even know her. I've never said hello to her. Man, this was by faith, I'll tell you this. I knew her dad and her brother more than I knew her. But I thought, you know, I'm going to give her dad a call. And I rang him up. I said, look, I was just wondering if I get to know your daughter. And he said, sure, it's okay by me as long as it's okay by her. So I call her up. I said, yeah, you don't really know me. But, you know, I spoke to your brother. I spoke to your dad. And I was just hoping I'd get to know you. She said, let me have some time to pray about it. She had some days to pray and she came back and she saw we can get to know one another. I didn't even know her. I didn't even know her. And I just asked her father by faith if I can get to know her. Now, it's not always the same for some people. Some people have the privilege to be in the church with someone else and they get to know somebody in a public forum. You know, but for me, she wasn't at the same church. She was at another church. So what do? I'm not going to go through the back door. That was my old life. I'm going to go through the front door. I'm going to ask her dad. And so let me say this. Is it okay to have close friends of the opposite sex? I said close friends of the opposite sex. We may have church friends. Amen? We've got church friends. We minister together. We work together. But you know what I mean by close friends. You know what really has put the spanner in the works? Social media. Yeah, like Facebook. You know what I mean? Like Facebook. You make friends with people and they just message each other and talk to each other. And, you know, opposite sex in such a way where it's got nothing to do with ministry or got nothing to do. It's just getting to know one another. Just recently, someone messaged me on Facebook and they're married. And I said, hello. Yeah. Oh, how you been? You know, how you? I said, I've been good. I've got six kids. You know, what do you want from me? Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to make a friendship. Listen, I'm not going to be close friends with someone that is married and even someone that's not married and same age. And well, I mean, come on, listen, can we have close friends? Listen, if you have a best friend of the opposite sex and one of you's get married, what's going to happen within that marriage? You're going to bring that relationship within your marriage. And what are you going to say to that friend, your best friend, your best friend? Oh, man, I'm married now. Please stop messaging me. Why? You're just friends, aren't you? Well, it's going to hinder the relationship. It's going to hinder your marriage because you know that you really can't be best friends with the opposite sex. Because if you're going to be friends with the opposite sex, your best friend should be your wife or your husband. That's your best friend. Jonathan and David were best friends. They were best friends, but they were of the same sex. You want a best friend? Go see someone of the same sex. Unless, of course, you're going to marry that person one day, be their best friend. You know, you're going to learn so much about each other. I can't go. I don't have time. But I can't go in the second part of this sermon. But we talk about once you get that know that person in courtship, what do you talk about? What do you say? What do you share? What do you do? You know, how close do you get in your conversation? Because you don't want to defraud one another. And so I don't have time in this session, but let's just stick to this point. Seek godly parents for counsel when you're seeking a spouse. The Bible says very clear, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And seek the blessings from your parents. Isaac, when he was, you know, Abraham saw a wife for Isaac, he wanted the best for Isaac. Notice Genesis 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So what he wanted someone of the faith, wanted someone that would be a believer. Didn't want someone from the Canaanites, didn't want some heathen, wanted someone that believed in God, that feared God. Now, let me just say, a godly parent wants that for their son or their daughter. And notice what his servant said in verse 27. He says this, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. He says, look at this. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And God led him to the right person for Isaac because he was in the will of God and he did what was right. Let me just say, when you're in the will of God, and you're doing what's right biblically, you're living by faith, you're applying these principles, you think God's going to mislead you in any way? No way in the world. He's going to lead you to the right person. And by the way, you won't get your heart broken when you do things the right way. You honor God and you don't defraud the other person. So what happens if you don't have a godly parent? What if you're parents are not saved and they want you to marry a heathen and they won't let you marry a Christian? What do you do then? Well, you do what Peter said. What did Peter say? What did the apostles say? What did they say? We ought to obey rather than men. Because we know that one of the commands is to submit to the authority. We ought not to rebel against our government. We ought not to rebel against police. But one day, and it's going to come, my friends, it will come, that they're going to tell us that we can't even preach the word of God because it's hate speech. What are you going to do? Are you going to submit to that authority? No, you appeal to a higher authority. And anytime any authority, including me, tell you that you don't have to do it this way or it's against God's will, you do not submit to them, but you submit to God. But you don't have to do it in a distasteful way. You can still do it in a way that's respectful. You can still do it in a way that shows that you are still honoring that person, but yet you can't give in, listen, because you love God more. And it looks like a love-hate relationship. They say, well, they'll put the Delilah tactic on. I say, you don't love me, you love them more than me. No, it's not that I love you more, them more. I love God more, and I want to do it God's way, and it's not about you, it's about the Lord. I just want to follow God. What's the problem with that? Any problem with following the Lord? Is it a crime to put God first? No, it's not. But we're going to feel like it is. They're going to make us feel that it's a crime. That we're doing something that is just, you know, we're acting like rebels. But I guarantee you, if your parents tell you to go steal, are you going to steal? If they're going to tell you to lie, will you lie? They're going to tell you to cheat, will you cheat? So why, when it comes to the things of God, why can't I just obey God in these areas? What's the problem? And sometimes we just need to say and think to ourselves, I just want to live a life, listen, not sometimes, all the time, I want to live a life that's pleasing to God. And you know what, at the end of the day, that's going to be tough only because people make it hard on you. They don't understand. They'll use manipulative tactics. They'll make you feel guilty because all you want to do, and they don't really understand it, and sometimes it's just arrogance and ignorance. All you want to do is please God. Now, can I just say something? And we're going to come to a close. What would you do right now if I just said to you, all these principles here that I preach from the Word of God, some of you perhaps would apply in a different way, but in the general sense, the principles that were taught from the Word of God, what would you do if I just said, look, folks, forget about this. Maybe 10 years from now, I was just too hard in that message, you know. I was too narrow-minded. 10 years from now, what would you do if I just came, I was still pastoring the church, you know, God willing, there were people that were still here. It's the will of God for you to be here. What would you do if you said, Pastor Charlie changed his mind about these things. Go and date. 10 years from now, how old would you be? Jaden, how old would he be? 20 years from now. What would you feel if I did that, Stephen? Your son sitting in the congregation and hearing these things. A person would say, yeah, he was a bit too much. Maybe he is a bit too much. Maybe we need to give him some freedom to try before they buy. Maybe we need to be less strict because they're not really finding anyone. You know, we're making it so hard for them to find somebody. No, because God is sovereign, my friend. Yeah, if God can send Philip in the backside of the desert, don't you worry. God can bring someone your way like that if you're in the will of God. And he can make that right and perfect and sweet. All you got to do is wait and trust him and love God more than what you're praying for. Yeah. But what would you do? What would you do? By the way, that's what Robert Bax said regarding worship. Did you know that? Robert Bax, one of the prominent independent pastors, you know, and he has an old lady sitting in the congregation, and poor old lady, he convinced her that the modern day music like rap and pop and R&B and rock is okay to worship God if people want to do that. Poor lady, she's the lady that endorsed his book and says, I can see it clearly differently right now. You know what, can I just say this, 20 years from now, if I change my ways, if I'm not preaching the Word of God and I'm twisting it and making it sound a bit of, you know, get sugarcoat message, don't follow me. Don't follow my ways. Stick to the book. Anybody familiar with this person? Joshua Harris. Anyone? He wrote a book, one of the faces over here. One of the best-selling books. What was it? I Kissed Dating Goodbye. This is one of my first DVDs and books that I ever got as a young Christian. I wasn't getting it from church. So I just wanted to go get it. So I went to Allwrong, Coorong. 5% store, amen. The King James Version Bible's 5% good. Now it's going down. They're narrowing. Yeah. You need a magnifying glass to find something wholesome. Yeah, 5% store. Yeah, ecumenical. And God is my witness. And I was just saying this to Jonathan today. And God is my witness. Every time I went to watch this, I didn't get 10 minutes through it. And I just switched it off. Even though it was actually good, it was like, I don't believe in dating. And he's going to teach on this thing. But for some reason, I kind of sensed that there was something wrong. And there was some reason that I didn't even get my content to preach or teach a series on courting from the book. I tried, and I tried to use something. I just couldn't get myself to do it. I couldn't do it. So what's happening to him? What's happened to Joshua Harris? Anyone know? Yes. This is what he says, and I quote, I am not a Christian. And they actually are just kind of mocking him a little with the news headline saying, I kissed Christianity goodbye. Wow. Yep. And it says here, author and former pastor, Joshua Harris, most known for his book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye, announced on Friday as a follow-up to last week's Instagram post advising of his separation from his wife that he had no longer identifies as a Christian. He also apologizes to those who identify as homosexuals, stating that he regrets his teaching on sexuality and that he had once stood against same-sex marriage. What's going on? And I honestly, with all my heart, I knew there was something wrong with this kind of Christian writing even this kind of book. Are you going to follow a man or are you going to follow God? No, seriously. Where, Where's your foundation? In a man or in the word of God? I say, Joshua Harris says it's okay now. He's done with it. I'm done with it. I don't believe that anymore. So therefore, I'm not going to follow it. Now, who are you following, my friend? You know why that book, Worship Wars, did not move me when I read it? Because long time ago, the Holy Spirit of God already worked in my heart telling me that rap was wrong. And I spoke to that pastor, Robert Bax, for 1 hour over the phone, telling me, you're going to try to teach me what God already done in my heart? You're going to try to teach me that it's okay? Come on, my friend. But because you wrote a book, who cares if you write a book? We have the book of books right here. I didn't care if you've written 5 books. And so you know what the problem is today? Why so many relationships don't work and why marriages are breaking up? Because people are not putting their faith in the word of God. And they hate this kind of preaching. But I'm going to do this to the day I die. Especially in the day that we live in. Because I don't want these people here to be a statistic. And kiss Christianity goodbye. You don't like it? Go to Hillsong. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to stand. And you should stand. And if I ever fail, and I pray God that I don't, but if I do, and I pray God I don't, just keep going. Because your faith doesn't depend upon me. And my faith doesn't depend upon you. If you fell away, I'll be sad. I'll cry. If you walked away and you said, I'm not going to do this anymore, I can't wait, I'm going to choose one from the heathen, I'm going to choose one from an unbeliever, I can't wait anymore, I'll be sad. But I'm still going to preach this. I'm still going to preach this. I'm not going to not preach it. It's biblical. The principles are based from God's word. And if we want wholesome Christian marriages to continue and to shine like we spoke about this morning, then we must obey the word of God. We must obey God rather than men. That's all it's good for, my friend. I'm putting it in the fire when I go home. Yep. Shame. Shame. What happened to him? I'll show you what happened. 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, we're done. Look at verse 18. We'll start verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What happened to Joshua Harris? What happened? Antichrist. Oh yeah, but he's got a wonderful book full of verses. Something's wrong with that book, I'm telling you. Something's wrong with that spirit. Something's wrong with Worship Wars. How dare you say that? You know, he's a brother in the Lord. Not when it comes to contrary to God's word. Sorry, my friends. Sorry. There's no book superior to the Bible. The Bible is superior to all books. The spirit of the Antichrist is working 2,000 years ago. And it's lurking. Where? Out there? No, it's going to come in here. It's going to creep in. And by God's grace, listen, by God's grace, as long as God's given me the opportunity and privilege to be pastor here over my dead body, we're not moving. We're going to sing godly hymns to the day we die. Amen. Yeah, and we're going to preach on courtship to the day we die and purity and holiness and call us old-fashioned. And we're going to even sing that song. Yeah, they call me old-fashioned. Yeah, I am. Thank God I am. Amen. Thank God I'm old as the Bible. Yeah. We all need to be old-fashioned. We ought not to be ashamed. I'm not going to let some creeps creep in making us feel that there's something wrong with us. I'm not going to let that happen. No way in the world. You know why preaching like this, prophet preaching, every now and then must take place? Do you know why? Maybe not all the time, but every now and then. Do you know why that this finger needs to come up and this? Do you know why? Because Christianity is hanging by a thread, folks. Yes! Hanging by a thread! And if we just let it go and just go with the flow, because we hear the disgruntled people out there, then we'll just go along with them and say, we're doing something wrong. People are leaving, then coming in, right? Now, every year I've said to people, mate, if there's five people left, we're still not moving. Yeah, five people left, we're still not moving. We're staying. We're not moving. We're not going anywhere. We're going to stick to the book. Unless, of course, someone shows us from the Bible that we're doing something that's not right. And we want to learn to adjust, amen? We want to learn to say, okay, show us from the Bible. We want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to bring glory to God by the way we live. But every now and then, listen, every now and then we need to be reminded that we're not moving. Especially when it comes to this. The temptation out there, I guarantee you, for you to just loosen up, mate, it's there. Be honest. But by God's grace, we need to stick to this. Obeying God rather than man. Yep. Does that mean maybe one day we're going to be burnt to the stake? Maybe not in our time. Prison's probably the worst that we'll get. Maybe in prison we'll be beaten and taken advantage of. But probably not in this country. But men, listen, ladies, gentlemen, brethren, men have died because they stood on this book in every area. Why? Because they just wanted to please God. And they wanted to do it to the best of their ability and the best that they knew how. Yep. And so it's not a crime to walk a life that it's pleasing to God. And you know what? Paul says, more and more. That means it's not time to go back. It's time to go forward and please God more and more. Yep. Because the Antichrist is working in that day and our day, and it's coming. Listen, it's coming. The Bible even says that even if it was impossible, that the elect will be deceived. That's how fierce it is. That's how strong the pull is, my friend. And it's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. I'm telling you. Some of you are sitting here today, so we'll never be moved. And I pray that you won't. And I pray that you won't be a statistic. Amen? Let's pray.